Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, beginning at verse 27 and going on to 12:8. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath."
Thanks, Alicia. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we want to ask that you would be the God who speaks to us. Lord, thank you that you've been doing that just as your word has been read, and we long to hear your voice speaking to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some of you will know that one of the traditions that we have as a church is a vision verse each year. As elders, we get together and we think, yeah, where's the church at, and what in the Bible speaks into that? Last year, with some degree of prophetic insight that was probably accidental, before anybody had heard of coronavirus, we came up with this from 2 Corinthians 1. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And that certainly became quite a relevant verse as we went through the year. A recognition that if anything we could learn from last year, it was that as human beings we're not in control. Not in control of the future, not in control of what happens to us. And a reminder that above all else we need to depend on God. Because he alone is the one who's got control over life and death. And again, actually, the week of prayer this week is a great opportunity to reminisce on that verse from last year, as it were, to recognize our needs, not to rely on ourselves, but on God. But about October, November, I think, we sat down and worked out, okay, what is it we need in 2021? We asked the question, how are people doing at the moment? How are people feeling? And there was a massive consensus, everybody is weary. Weary of regulations, weary of living under a pandemic, just a sense of being tired. And actually, once you're in that position, it doesn't take long to get to Matthew 11, verse 28. If I'm honest, most of our vision discussions have lasted about 3 hours. This lasted 10 minutes. We're weary, and we need Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I mean, I guess often we arrive in January with a sense of optimism. You know, a bright new year, we're rested after a Christmas mixing with family and friends, and there's a, hey, let's get into 2021. My guess is this year might feel just a little bit different from that. A sense of we're living under the same burdens we were living under, well, for the last 9 months or so. And so this feels like a verse for our times, where Jesus speaks to those who are weary and says, come to me. Now, because we might be weary, I'm going to proceed pretty slowly. So we're actually just going to look at verse 28 this week and verses 29 and 30 next week to really chew over this invitation that Jesus gives to all who are weary and burdened. And my hope is that whether you're here or whether you're at home, the Lord will speak to you. That actually what each of us will sense as we look at this is the Lord Jesus offering an invitation to us and saying, come to me. The situation is those who are weary and burdened. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And it's a hugely open invitation. All. Anybody in this position. If you're listening to this and you are feeling weary at the moment, this is for you. And it seems to me that weary and burdened, it's deliberately a broad phrase. I don't think we're to look at it and think, well, Jesus only means weary and burdened because of this situation. It's pretty open. Any who are weary and burdened. And let's be honest, the sources of weariness are pretty manifold. Yeah, it may be the current pandemic and the situation we're in. And of course, for each one of us, the situation will be different. For some of us, we've lived on our own for 9 months. And just the sheer loneliness of that and the inability to mix with people, it's just wearying. We're just sick of it and tired of it. And that feels like the burden that we're carrying. For others of us, it's how do we keep a family going in the midst of this situation? You know, are schools going to go back tomorrow or not? And if they are, for how long? And there's just, oh, good grief, more of this? And we're tired of it. We're weary of it. Others of us, we're medically more vulnerable. And it's the fear of getting sick that gets to us. And we're tired of it. Some of us are fearful that we'll lose our jobs. For others of us, we're just tired of our jobs. You know, maybe it is those in the NHS. Maybe it is teachers where everything changes all the time. And there's just a weariness, a burden that we're carrying. I guess for all of us, it's just the pressure of the normal pleasures of life being removed. And those things that would often alleviate a sense of weariness, well, they haven't gone. And we're just stuck with the humdrum of life without any relief. And we're tired. And we're weary. But for others, well, maybe for all of us, there's just that awareness, actually, a sense of weariness and being burdened didn't arrive with 2020. I know that for some people, there is just an agony of life, maybe a physical agony, maybe it's an emotional pain that is just our daily experience. There's just something about our life we wish were different. And each morning we get up and we're still living with it. That thing we wish were different, but it's still there. And day by day by day, we live under it. And there's a burden that we carry. And there's just a tiredness of living with it constantly. For others, it will be responsibilities that we carry. You know, maybe in family life, maybe in work life, maybe in church. A sense that there are so many people who depend on us. And we have responsibilities to fulfill. And most of the time that's fine, but there's just occasions to say, oh, do I really need to keep fulfilling these people's expectations? And that's a burden that we carry that leaves us feeling tired. For others, it's not other people's expectations, it's the expectations we have of ourselves. We want to be a certain type of person, and yet constantly we fall short. You know, if we're Christians, we want to live wholeheartedly for God, and yet we find in times of stress and tiredness, we give in to that sin. Or maybe we want to be wholehearted, and we just find ourselves drifting back to a dull half-heartedness. Perhaps particular temptations that we face, and we're weary of the battle with them. We're tired of ourselves. Or maybe it's the burden of religious expectations. Actually, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, they were well known for imposing heavy burdens on people. And so for the people at the time, living for God, that should be a joy. Well, it just becomes a burden. And again, it might be for some of us, we're at that point where actually the thought of living for God doesn't fill us with joy, but just, oh, I've got to live for God, that means doing this and that and the other, and we're tired of it. Well, I wonder what it is for you. To be honest, if you didn't feel burdened already, probably have to have worked through that list, you do. The reason actually for working through that list was to show the all-encompassing nature of this. What is it for you? What's the thing that leaves you just weary? What's the burden that you feel like you carry? Because here's the thing. That issue is of interest to Jesus. He's interested in it. But the thing that leaves you feeling burdened, he understands. You know, even in saying these words, what Jesus is saying is, I know that life is wearying for many. I know that many of you are carrying burdens. I know. I understand. That's why I'm making the invitation. I recognize, I know that life in a broken world is hard. That tiredness, a sense of being overwhelmed, that's normal. I understand, and I care. And I just want to say, isn't that good news, actually? Yeah, isn't that good news that Jesus recognizes that weariness is part of life? You see, many of us, I think the temptation is we have our sources of weariness, the burdens that we carry, and Jesus is somewhere over there, and we never bring those things together. We never pull them together. And that might be for various reasons. Yeah, it might be that if we're not Christians, Jesus doesn't really at the moment form part of our life at all. But if we're Christians, it could be, well, frankly, I'm so busy being burdened, I've got no time to bring that to Jesus. Or it could be that sense, well, Jesus, he's for sort of religious stuff. And this area of life where I'm burdened, we don't see him as part of that. Or perhaps I think for some of us, we have an image of Jesus whose role in life is essentially to add to our burdens. You almost, we have this kind of backpack of responsibilities and they're weighing us down, and there's Jesus saying, hey, have some more things to do. Let me weigh you down slightly further. And it's because our image of Jesus is one who's demanding. And the purpose of this verse is to say, in your very area of weariness, Jesus wants to speak to you. And he wants to meet with you. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Jesus has good news for those of us in that position. Because here's the offer he's going to make to us. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I mean, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I wonder what comes into your mind when you think of rest. I don't know, maybe it is one of those hard days at work. And you get home and, well, if you've got small kids, you know, there's then a sort of extra stuff to do. And finally they're packed off to bed and you collapse on the sofa in front of a film with a few. Now I can rest. Or whatever the equivalent is for you, that means you can finally sit down on a sofa in front of a film or a football match. Just, phew, now I can rest. And maybe that's the image we have in our mind when we think of rest. Actually, in the Bible, rest is a much deeper concept than simply collapsing on a sofa in front of a film. You see, in the Bible, rest conveys a sense of being at ease in the presence of God. Rest is about being at ease, being able to cease work in the presence of God. So at creation, God makes the world, and Adam and Eve, humanity, they're the climax, the high point of creation. And actually their first experience is of rest, because after God has created Adam and Eve, he rests. And right back when the world is as it should be, humanity is at rest with God, living in his presence, resting in his presence. And then you wind your way on through Israel's history. God's people end up as slaves in Egypt. And of course, the thing about slaves is you can never rest if you're a slave. You've always got to be working. And then God rescues them and brings them into the wilderness and gives them the law. And there you have the Sabbath. The Sabbath is basically an opportunity to rest in the presence of God, remembering God, rejoicing that they're not slaves anymore. They can rest from their work, and they can do so remembering the way God has rescued them. rest in the presence of God. And then God brings his people into the promised land. And it's not easy getting into the promised land. There are all kinds of enemies that need to be defeated. But eventually they're all gone. And there God's people are in the land that he's given them. And the summary of it in Joshua is this: the Lord gave them rest. They're living with God in his presence, the relationship that they are designed for. Deep rest in the presence of God. And Jesus is saying, that's what I've come to bring. I've come to bring that deep rest. That's why actually deliberately in Matthew's gospel, the very next story is a story about the Sabbath, where Jesus proclaims himself the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the one the Sabbath was pointing to. I'm the one who brings ultimate rest in the presence of God. I am the deep rest that you need. Now, one level, that's a rest, that's a promise, a glorious promise for the future. You know, one day we will be in our equivalent of the promised land. We'll be in a glorious new creation. We'll be there in the presence of God. One of the things that will be our experience in the new creation is we'll never be weary again. Never be burdened again. Never be overwhelmed again. Just permanently enjoying rest with God. I'm sure there'll be work to do, but it will be a work that we enjoy. That all the brokenness of this world, enjoying it in the presence of God. But I don't think that's a promise just to the future. A sense of, you know, in this life we're just going to be permanently weary and burdened, but hey, in the end we'll get to rest. No, there is a promise of rest for our souls. Now, a foretaste, if you like, of what will come. An inner sense of peace and harmony. And Jesus is saying to us, come to me and I will give you that rest. And I don't know about you, that's actually the rest that I need. Oh, don't get me wrong, I quite enjoy collapsing on a sofa in front of a football match. And yet, what I've discovered is it's perfectly possible at one level to be resting in front of a football match and your brain is still whirring. Even with the wonder of football, your brain is still whirring with all the kind of responsibilities that you carry. Yeah, it doesn't quite provide that deep soul rest that we need. Actually, for that deep soul rest, this rest with our Creator, Jesus is saying, I'm the only one who can give you that. Think about some of the things that weigh us down that I started with. Some of the sources of weariness and burdens. You know, we're weary of ourselves. We're fed up with our failures. We're overwhelmed with the burden of guilt, perhaps, that we carry because of our sin. And Jesus comes along and says, I've paid for all of it. Absolutely all of it. That sin that weighs you down, that you keep falling into, Jesus says, I paid for that. Because I paid for it all. You don't need to feel overwhelmed and burdened. You can rest. Because your guilt is fully paid for. I'm sure this won't be my only Hudson Taylor reference this year. Hudson Taylor was a pioneer missionary to China. He was quite an intense teenager, actually. You know, he wanted to live for God. He was overwhelmed with a sense of failure. Until he came across a little booklet that was all based around Jesus' words on the cross, it is finished. And suddenly his eyes were open to the fact that all this stuff he was trying to do, all his failure, Jesus had paid for it all. And he wrote, the light was flashed into my soul by the Holy Spirit, that there was nothing in the world to be done but to fall down on one's knees and accepting the Savior and his salvation to praise him forevermore. Do you notice the phrase, nothing more to be done? That actually that constant burden of, I've got to be good enough for God, it's finished. Nothing more to be done. And Jesus says, I can give you rest if you'll trust me. If you'll trust me to pay for the ways in which you fail, I can give you rest. And I think for those of us who feel simply burdened by the pressures of living as a Christian, I suspect it's probably because we've not fully grasped that. You see, I think for many of us as Christians, we drop into that thought, well, if I get to an acceptable level of holiness, then I can rest. If my Christian commitment has reached that sort of area, then I can rest. But not until I get to that point. And until that point, I've got to be burdened. You know, until I've got to that point where I really have read the Bible every day. Until I've got to the point where I have witnessed to 6 friends a week. Until I get to that point where that sin I scarcely ever commit, then I can rest. And I tell you, you'll be constantly burdened if that's the way you think. And Jesus says, come to me. Because the Christian life is to be lived not for rest, but from rest. It's so much easier to live as a Christian from rest rather than thinking if I achieve a certain level, then I can rest. And Jesus says, I can give you rest. Those sins that you think stop you having a relationship with God, I've paid for them all, so you can enjoy rest in the presence of God. And in the end, that's also true for all those other responsibilities we carry, whether it's the pressure of living in a COVID world, whether it's the pressure of raising family, whether it's the pressure of our work responsibilities. It is so much easier to do those from a place of rest than for a place of rest. In other words, actually, I bring them to the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you that the world depends on you and not on me. Lord, I thank you that you're in control and actually in the end, I'm not the Messiah, you are. And I can rest because you're in control. And I tell you, when you get to that place, a sense of, Lord, you're in control and I'm simply going to do what I can. It's actually so much easier to fulfill responsibilities because we're doing it from a place of rest, from a place of knowing God. Coming to that point where you say, Lord, I thank you that you love me and I thank you that you're in control and I thank you that these responsibilities I'm carrying are never to win your favor because I already have that. That's by far the best place to be. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. Here's the promise. Being in the presence of God, with it being okay between him and us, I will give you rest. Which leads lastly to the invitation. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Can I say, just in passing, notice the sheer boldness of that? I mean, there's all kinds of people saying, you know, they can introduce us to inner harmony, but by and large, they're saying, here's this technique. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest for your souls. Not for the first time as you work your way through the Gospels. You do realize Jesus is either the Son of God or an utter egomaniac. Because he's making the offer, I can do it. I've got the answer to this problem that the world has. I can do it. Come to me. And yet, notice not just the boldness of it, but the compassion of it. I wonder, if you had a choice of people you wanted to hang around with, would you choose the weary and the burdened? Yeah, just thinking, who do I want at my party, you know, the first party I can have when it happens? You know, who do I want at my sort of future party in, I don't know, 2023? You know, I want all the people who are going to be great and be fun and be happy. And Jesus says, I want to hang around with the weary and the burdened. Because that's what he's like. And actually, if weariness, burdens, if that's your experience, Jesus is very interested in you. And he says, come to me. And the reason he's able to do this, the reason he really can give us that rest, is actually because of what he said just in the verses before. Verse 27. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You see, how can we have rest in the presence of God? Because Jesus uniquely is the one who can introduce us to God. He's the Son of the Father, the one who knows God and the one who can introduce people to God. And that's why you can say, come to me. And I can give you rest in the presence of God forever. So what does it mean, come to me? That's actually what we're going to flesh out a little bit more next week as we get into verse 29. But just for now, come to me. I mean, it implies today recognizing that Jesus is alive and that we can come to him and speak to him. And say, Lord, I'm bringing you my weariness. I'm bringing you my burden. Can I just recommend it's actually worth doing this very practically? Find some time, I don't know, this afternoon, this week, just to come and speak to Jesus and say, Lord, this is my burden. This is my area of weariness. And Lord, I thank you so much that in that area you're interested. And Lord, I thank you so much that in that area, you can give me rest. Both to bring it to Jesus and to trust him that what he says is true. Lord, I'm just so burdened by my guilt in this area. Lord, thank you that you have paid for it. Thank you that I'm at rest. Lord, I know that I keep trying to prove myself to achieve something in this area, and it's just become a sort of ladder I can't climb anymore. Lord, I'm bringing it to you. Thank you that I have rest in that my identity is secure in that I'm loved by you rather than climbing a ladder. Lord, there's this responsibility that I know I have to fulfill, and I'm just tired of it. Lord, I bring it to you. Thank you that in the midst of it, you give me rest because you remind me that everything depends on you ultimately. And that actually gives me the strength to keep going. I don't know about you, I've felt pretty overwhelmed by just the constant living under this pandemic. And actually beginning to put this into practice over the last few days has done me a world of good, actually. Just to be able to say, I still don't like living under this. But Lord, I thank you that I'm not doing it on my own. That I'm doing it with you, and that in an ultimate sense, all is okay because I'm with you. So can I encourage us just to come to him, speak to him, recognize that area where we're overwhelmed and apply his rest into that situation. And as you do that, simply perhaps to be still and to enjoy that sense of communion with him. Being in his presence and resting with him. Lord, I'm here and you're here and I'm coming to you. And in the deeper sense, it's okay. You see, the reason this isn't a bad vision verse is, I don't know about you, don't you want this for this year? That whatever else is going on in the world around us, and I suspect there'll be a fair amount of turmoil, in the deepest sense, we're at rest. In the deepest sense, we found the place where we want to be with Jesus. Don't you want this? And actually, doesn't the world need this? Can I say, if you're watching this and you're not a Christian yet, the offer is available. This deep rest we're designed for, it's offered to all. Actually, you need this just as much as any Christian needs this. But it seems to me as well, also, what the world around needs is actually us as Christians looking rested, looking different in this area. Because we've found something that makes a difference. You know, I'd love it to be the case that this year is going to be hard, but somehow we're different. Because in the deepest sense, it's okay. Because we found rest through Jesus. So, come to him. Come to him. Don't let your burden drive you away from the Lord. Actually, it's your very burden that qualifies you to come. come to him. Don't stoically persevere in your weariness. Don't think you've got no time to come to Jesus. Can I plead with you, make the time to come to him. Believe me, your responsibilities are way easier to carry from a place of rest. Come to him. Speak to him. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me and don't go anywhere else. You know, most temptation works on the principle that it offers you rest. And the reality is that it doesn't, ultimately. Come to me and don't go anywhere else. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. At the beginning, I said my prayer was that each of us would sense the Lord speaking to them. And I wonder whether he's just speaking to us right now and saying, this year, come to me. Let's pray. I wonder how you want to respond to Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the open invitation that you offer to us. And Lord, we bring ourselves to you. We bring all those burdens that we carry, whatever they are, and we offer them to you. And Lord, we pray that even in the midst of them, you would give us just that sense that we can rest in your presence. Because the world belongs to you and not to us. And because you paid for all those burdens that we carry. Lord, help us please to live from a place of rest this year, we ask. For your name's sake. Amen.